Hello and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Today, we're looking at the payment trends that are top of mind this year. From embedded payments to buy now, pay later, we're shifting more and more towards a cashless future. Joining us today is Sukanya Madhavan, Vice President of Product at TSG Forte, and Dan Key, Senior Research Analyst of Merchant Services at Javelin Strategy and Research. It's so great to have you both with us today. Sukanya, I'd like to set the scene a bit and look at the payments landscape and what's needed to take payments forward. Can you walk us through what you're seeing right now in the space?
Absolutely. So payments has always been an integral part of our daily activities as consumers, right? The interactions have changed over years from the channels in which we make the payment, the speed at which we want the payments to be reflected, the security aspect. But these interactions have drastically evolved in the past 5 years, given the pandemic-induced lifestyle activity changes, where we want things to be transitioned from digital to retail, less touch contactless payments. So that evolution has been drastic. And from the merchant's perspective, there is inflation and cost pressures as well. So from taking the payments landscape forward, I look at it from three different perspectives. One, from the consumer side. The end consumers want additional methods of payments, alternate methods of payment, and making it seamless and simple for them to make a payment, embedded payments and things like that. From the merchant side of it, offering all this onto their regular business activities and making payments seamless to their consumers is something that they have to consider, and at the same time, keeping it costs at bay, optimizing payment operations and things like that. Now, as a payment service provider, a payment solution provider, we need to keep tap on the market to make sure what are the consumers' changing needs and making sure that we are able to add all these capabilities, be it the convenience side of it or the payment offerings and channels like QR code or open banking, BNPL. There is a number of things that's in the market. So keeping an eye on this and depending on the market that you serve, making sure that you're taking care of all of this is kind of how I put it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think alternative payments are, you know, really important as far as, you know, meeting consumers' needs, but they also introduce new complications. You know, you can crowd checkout. There's a lot of options available to a consumer all of a sudden. And, you know, there was a period, you know, years ago where there were, you know, a bunch of different buy buttons and when you would go to checkout and it would kind of crowd the whole page. And then a lot of those buy buttons either disappeared or merged. And for a little while there, it was kind of just credit or debit or, you know, one or two buy buttons from mobile wallets. And now with the rise of BNPL, the potential for account-to-account payments, various open banking options, and QR codes, so many different payment options, the way you pay and check out is becoming less consistent again. And also, you're potentially overwhelming consumers of options, but you also do want to provide them the ability to pay the way they want to. So kind of threading that needle, offering consumers all the payment options they might want, while also not creating a fragmented and frustrating checkout experience is a challenge that merchants and their providers will need to meet.
Absolutely. Just to add on into that, I can give examples from our customers when we go in and engage with them during the customer advisory boards as well, right? The needs are different depending on the verticals. And Dan, you nailed it, right? We need to go in and have the balance. Do you want too many payment methods appearing in your checkout or do you not want it, right? And as a payment provider and as a merchant, to be able to have that flexibility in the offering that you're having so that you can change it as needed depending on the market or the specific customer that you're looking for is critical, right? So absolutely that flexibility and able to adapt things quickly. That is the thing, right? Depending on the customers that you serve. So great point there, Dan.
Yeah, it's not a one-size-fits-all thing where, you know, certain, like a restaurant doesn't need all the payment options that an apparel retailer needs and so on. The ability to kind of, you know, pick and choose and understand what is the right match for a merchant is really important going forward.
In addition to alternative payment methods, what other ways will consumers engage with cashless transactions?
So the alternate payment methods landscape itself has expanded in the past few years itself, right? We've had digital wallets for a long time, be it Apple Pay, GPay and stuff, but they've seen adoption going through the roof. And based on various predictions that we have had, we're seeing that is going to increase globally across because that has made it super easy as a first step for global payment processing itself, right? And then the changes are coming in really quick. Now we have this buy now, pay later, which offers ability for customers to purchase stuff, which if they didn't have that option of paying it by 3 or 4 or 5 they wouldn't have opted for that purchase. From the merchant side of it, that's a business or a sale that they wouldn't have. But there is always an angle of, are we moving the consumers towards additional debt? But like the other day when Dan and I were having a conversation, it's a more of calculated risk, right? So kind of positioning people to make sure that you have these capabilities, you use it to our advantage and make sure we are financially responsible citizens. But we are also seeing additional things like increased adoption in recurring payments so that people can set and forget payments, right? And people want to pay, but they want it to be seamless. So recurring payments has again grown, and we have our age-old ACH that has always been there. Now we have the same-day ACH moved on to the real-time payment side of it. There is adoption. And with the advent of open banking, several companies are using it for different use cases, not purely the payment aspect of it, but setting that up for a recurring payment, making sure that the information is right there. And can my customer make a payment at this time? So those are some additional things that are instrumental in supporting these alternate methods of payment and able to complete the payment experience itself.
Digital wallets in particular really stand out to me as a cashless payment that is going to, you know, kind of take off. They've been popular for a long time. Adoption has been on the way up, as you mentioned, but we're seeing younger consumers rely on them more heavily. What I mean by that is that they're making, you know, for more purchases a week with a digital wallet than older generations, Gen Z in particular. And so that, you know, there's a big difference between you use Apple Pay, you know, once every month and you use Apple Pay, you know, four times over 2 days. It's a very different kind of relationship and reliance. And that changes, you know, that changes relationships with credit cards. It also changes how merchants need to be expecting to accept payments. I think digital wallets are really poised to become a much more, you can't really call a digital wallet top of a wallet because it's the wallet itself, but, you know, consumers' go-to payment method is going to increasingly reach that stage, which is a very big shift from what it's been in the past years.
Absolutely. Completely in agreement. And that's where you see, I think, recent announcement, I think late last week, where they announced the banks are coming together, coming up with their own wallet, right? Using the Zelle aspect of it. So absolutely, there is going to be that move to go in and have the additional adoption around it. And I agree with Dan's point. I have a teenager at home, just 16, and he's like, Mom, I don't need all these bank accounts. I just use Apple Pay. Right? They just want to be able to just walk around with the phone, make the payment, and move away. So absolutely, digital wallets, I think, will continue to grow.
And it makes perfect sense because, you know, if your first introduction, you know, for a lot of us, our first introduction to you know, paying for things ourselves was cash or maybe a debit card, depending on what it was. But if you get a phone in your teenage years and you can get a debit card or a credit card loaded up into Apple Pay, if that's the first way you pay for something, why would you suddenly start using cards or other methods later? So, you know, Apple Pay is really getting in, and depending on the phone, a consumer has Google Pay or something, or a different wallet, or Samsung Pay. Those wallets are reaching consumers really early and building up a relationship that could last for the rest of their lives.
Dukanya, I'm curious, what role will embedded payments play in the overall payment landscape?
They are going to be critical in bringing all these together, in my opinion, right? We talked about how consumer behaviors have changed, how the expectations are that we need everything quick and now. Now, the merchants who are offering all these capabilities in addition to their core business, so they are at a point where, do I need to focus on my core business or do I focus on payments, right? So that is where I believe the providers and the capabilities that we have across all of this, having that as embedded, making it easier for the merchants. And that way, from the end consumer, the experience is seamless, is critical. So embedded payments will support that from start to finish, making sure that the end consumer experience is seamless, removing the complexity, hiding the complexity behind, making it easier, more for the consumers is kind of how embedded payments can help. And from the merchant's perspective, it is not just offering the payment capability through embedded payments, say a checkout page, or for that matter, a recurring payment or things like that, but it's also additional reporting, right? We know companies spend a ton of time trying to go back and reconcile and make sure the books are right. So having that as well into their payment experience from the merchant side of it is going to be important for the merchants to optimize their side. So I strongly believe that embedded payments, all the way from the convenience aspect and the reporting aspect, making sure that all of these tie together, it can be supported through this embedded payments focus.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, for merchants, embedded payments just open up so many doors and make things so much easier. And then for consumers, you know, embedded payments make payments invisible. And while, you know, we could talk about payments all the time and we think about it all the time, the average consumer does not want to think about payments. And embedded payments is what enables, you know, a very, you know, frictionless experience where they don't even really, obviously they know they're paying, but there's not a lot of effort. It's not a lot of labor. It's something that it can very easily just move past. And that's really important for creating really, really seamless or very appealing checkout experiences and other shopping experiences. So, you know, I think embedded payments are certainly here to stay, and their importance is only going to grow.
I'd like to take a look ahead. What's next for the payments landscape? What can we expect this year?
This year, in addition to the areas that we talked about digital wallets, alternate methods of payments and embedded payments, I believe this is a year where we start all of these things coming together, right? And it's not just in the North America or just Europe or EMEA. It's bringing together, crossing boundaries, right? The focus would be across making sure that all these come together and making the global payment experience easier. We are all global citizens to a point where people travel. They want to be able to buy things across from different vendors. So this would be a year where we continue to focus. Great, these numbers are growing. So is going to be fraud and the risk aspect. So I believe there is going to be a value sphere expansion. So as the core capabilities and the alternate methods of payment, all of these expand, the value sphere in terms of risk monitoring, fraud management, reporting and reconciliation, all of these coming together to provide a great enhanced consumer experience and making sure that the merchants can continue to run their business and provide that better experience to the customer. I think that will be the focus, and we can expect several businesses to invest a lot of money in that area.
Absolutely. You know, I think payments can be very fragmented. We've named a million different services a company can offer, you know, BNPL, processing, acquiring, digital wallets. We can go on and on and on about all the different pieces of payments. And I think payments companies that are trying to offer all of these services, you know, fraud, everything in one, have a real advantage as long as they can offer quality services, because a merchant can get everything they need from one place. You know, especially an SMB does not have the time to source out different vendors for all of their various payment needs. It'd be much easier for them if it's all on one platform. Maybe a very easy to use dashboard. I think we're going to see a lot of companies continue to push to meet more and more, if not all, of merchants' needs, no matter how specialized they are, in order to, you know, deepen the relationship and also get more revenue out of the relationship as well. But I think the ability to make payments less fragmented for merchants will be really key going forward.
Sukanya and Dan, thank you so much again for joining us today and for your insights and perspective into this changing landscape and what we can expect soon. We hope to have you back on soon.